So I'm Miriam, which you probably all know by now. And I'm here to tell you a little bit. I've heard that there's been quite a lot of work in this church on restorative justice. So I wanted to give you a little bit of a sense of where peacemaking circles or restorative circle processes fit into that larger umbrella of restorative justice. So any restorative justice process is focused on restoring relationships and mending those relationships when there has been harm done. And restorative justice often refers to that in a criminal context. And there are three different tools that can be used to mend the harm. One is victim-offender mediation, which is where the victim and the offender meet with a facilitator, and the victim gets to have an experience of asking the offender questions, which they don't get in an adversarial system. And the offender gets to hear the impact of their actions on the victim, and perhaps gets to explain a little bit about why those actions might have occurred. It often happens after sentencing in a criminal situation, so after the adversarial process has happened. It's focused on that specific incident or crime. Restorative conferences are circle processes as well, but they usually occur without a talking piece and, again, are focused on a very specific incident. But usually that incident has many stakeholders, and all of those stakeholders are invited to the conference process, and there's a script that's followed where certain questions are asked and everyone gets a chance to answer those specific questions. The final process that we're here to talk about today is peacemaking circles. Peacemaking circles originated in Aboriginal communities across the world. And peacemaking circles can be used to create community, to simply share. They can be used to make decisions, are often used in context, still in tribal contexts all over the world, to make decisions. And they can be used as well to address conflict. They have the unique capacity to be a little more holistic than either conferences or victim offender mediation. They can address incidents that have many layers because the questions aren't scripted. They're created for that particular event by the facilitators that are usually called keepers. And they invite all the stakeholders, like conferences, invite all the stakeholders to the process with a specific purpose of trying to balance the power in the conflict. So that if there's, for example, someone who's been bullied, the victim would be able to invite several supporters to the circle to help them feel supported and not feel alone in facing the offenders. Bystanders would also be invited to the circle, people who haven't a direct role in the bullying but who may have observed it or have known about it from other people. So I just wanted to put that in context a bit. I also wanted to tell you a little bit of a story about how I use restorative circles, peacemaking circles, all the time in my practice as a teacher, but I also use them at home with my family. So in my family, we have a dog. I have two boys, and always the conflict is who's going to walk the dog. We got the dog for the boys, so we figured the boys should walk the dog. Well, as they grew older, the boys felt less and less like this was fair. So my older son typically would give up his responsibility of walking the dog, and my younger son, who's a little bit more conciliatory at times, would rescue him and take the dog for a walk. After a while, this began to be kind of a fractious experience in our family. So we got together and had a circle. In the circle, we each had a chance to talk about a time when we had let go of a responsibility that we should have maintained or kept. We talked about a time when we'd rescued someone from something that we should have let them do, but we did it just to make it easier. And we also talked about when we wanted to change our responsibility or the way that it was enacted, and we didn't quite know how So we abandoned it or we got angry about it. And in that process, we all began to relate to all the other people in the circle and the position that they had. And we were able to solve the problem because my older son always had the afternoon walks, which meant that he could never stay with his friends after school. So my sons worked out a little bit of a trade so that he wouldn't always have the afternoon walks and Mika wouldn't always have the morning walks that were the easier ones to do because he didn't have to do them at the end of the day. And Pat's going to talk to you a little bit.